Woo, let me get my breath. Anybody else need to take their time, moment to get their breath? I am whipped. Amen. God is good. Well. Let's go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would. Open up to 1 Corinthians. We're going to spend a little time again in there today as we pick up where we left off last week. Amen? Well, last week we finished up this after Easter sermon, and you know, I sat down this week and I began to reflect and started thinking about what we had just celebrated. I thought to myself, looking back at the messages of Easter sunrise, Easter morning last week, the resurrection, and I made this point at the sunrise service and on Easter morning, was the resurrection is the single most important event of all human history. How many of you agree with me on that? Amen. You know, this past Monday, we had a total eclipse. Remember that? Anybody see it? I didn't, but it was a big deal for a lot of people. A big deal. But here's the thing about an eclipse, particularly a total eclipse, it's going to happen again, right? It's a repeatable event. I remember seeing this maybe elementary school, maybe middle school back in the 80s, somewhere around there. Everybody remember that? Those of you that were alive, you know, and I remember it was a big deal, and we, you know, got the piece of paper. You remember your things you used to do in elementary school? That's when we didn't have the technology we have today with the glasses. We had to look through a piece of paper, you know, poke a hole in it. Anyway, that's what we did. I remember that, but then here we are some 40-plus years later, or 40 years, actually 50 years, it feels like, 40 years, looking at this again. So it's a repeatable event, and the thing about it is it's not life-changing. There were so many people. I was watching the recap of the news. People were going crazy. Ooh, ah. I was like, guys, you know, this is not going to change your life. It's not going to change your life. You know, this is a repeatable event. And the fact is, I could have cared less. Rebecca and I were just going about our day doing our usual things. Like, is it time? Yeah, whatever. You know, we just kept doing our thing, you know. But the resurrection. Now that, my friends, is a life-changing event. Can I get an amen? Amen? That's a life-changing event. And so the question I have as I was reflecting about this is, why do we only dedicate one Sunday a year to recognize the single most important event of all human history? And not only that, but the single reason, the backbone of our faith. Why just one Sunday? And particularly when it's been perverted by all these other distractions, the Easter bunny, Easter egg hunts, spring break, all the different things that we do. Why just one Sunday? One more time, let me say it, because it is the most significant event of all human history. It's been diluted by an Easter holiday that we take for granted, let's be honest, once a year. One that gets diluted by all these activities that take place around it and during it. Now, that's my rant this morning, and a reason why we're going to have a few more sermons dealing with after Easter. Is that okay with you guys? Yeah. If it's not, it's too bad. We're going to do it anyway. You know, as Charlie said that, I didn't. He wrote that in my... No, I'm kidding. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to pick up at verse 45. And I want you to hear what the Apostle Paul is saying to us today. Verse 45, it says, "Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven." Amen. "And as was the man of dust, so also are those who are of dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have been born the image of the man of dust," listen to this, "we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you that we can gather here and worship your name, that we can lift you on high, Lord, and we can say, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done on the cross, what you did being raised to life, and now as you sit at the right hand of God. And this morning, Lord, as we reflect on your goodness and your grace and your kindness on us, I pray that this message, Lord, would not fall on deaf ears, that we would hear not only what you're saying, but what you're challenging us to do in allowing Jesus, who is alive, to live his life through ours. So this morning, not only do we want to recognize what you have done, but Lord, we want to yield to you. We want to submit. And I pray that you would give us the heart and the mind to do that, to get out of your way so that, Lord, you are glorified in our lives. Make that so this morning, I pray. And this morning, may we hear from heaven and not from me. I pray that you have your way in Jesus' name. And we all agreed and said, amen and amen. You know, for all my life, and most of you can agree with this, we've celebrated Easter, right? As far as I can remember, I still remember our first sunrise service. I think I might have been 11 or 12 years old. We partnered with the church down the street. I remember the church. I remember what it looked like. I can't remember the name. I do know it was across the street from Huntington Elementary School, right there off of Merritt Drive in Greensboro. We all got dressed up like we all do. Remember that? I remember back in those days, the ladies would get a new dress. They'd get a hat with lots of flowers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, a dad would get a new suit, and the whole family would dress alike. You know what I'm talking about? Remember that? We all did that. Okay. It was a big deal. And we gathered for that first sunrise service. We met outside in front of a cross. Sun came up as we sang songs and someone preached. And then we had a breakfast following that, going into that church's fellowship hall. And you know what I remember? This is a strange memory. The sausage was really good. I mean, it was really good. I can still remember that. It was really good. And then we went from there into their sanctuary, where we went back to another set of worship songs. We did some congregational reading, and we celebrated Easter together. And the sausage was good. And the thing about this is that after a lifetime of Easters, I think you'll agree with me on this, going through all these familiar things that we do, the motions, and even now as a pastor, and Charlie can probably relate with this, it can be such a difficult, a very tough thing to put ourselves in the shoes of those who are sitting or standing watching the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. His followers were there, either in the midst of the crowd or hiding off in the distance watching as their Lord hung on a cross and now was dying. It's hard for us to put ourselves in their shoes because we are so removed from it. And they were watching that moment of Jesus' death. All that stood there in the crowd watching as they pierced his side and as he breathed his last breath and commended his spirit to God. You need to remember this. Those that were watching, Jesus told them exactly what was going to happen. Yet when it did, they could hardly believe it. In Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 31, it says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." And he said this plainly, meaning that he said it clearly. This is really going to happen. And Peter, remember Peter, the brash, the impetuous, the one who just opened his mouth before he thought? He said, he took him aside and he rebuked Jesus, the nerve, right? But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and he said, "Get behind me, Satan. Listen, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Don't we all do that? Come on, let's be honest. And then calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Follow me. You know, I would imagine that they listened to him saying that, and surely they thought, he has got to be speaking metaphorically, right? I mean, he's just kind of painting a picture for us, but this is not really going to happen like this. What Jesus had described to them, it was just unthinkable. There's no way. This was Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the One. He was God in man. He could literally do anything but die. But die. And still now, imagine with me, you're in the crowd. They're watching with all the other onlookers, and they're looking as Jesus is hung on a cross, their Lord, their Master. They had followed him for 3.5 years, and now he is dying. He's dying. And then he dies. He breathes his last breath, and he's placed into a borrowed tomb. He's laid there. He is dead. He is pale. He is gone. His heart, as I described a few weeks ago, was literally broken from the stress of the torture of the cross. And can you imagine what those who had been following him for the last 3+ years were thinking? Can you imagine? Put yourself in their shoes. Were we fooled? Were we taken? Were we following some sort of cult leader? I mean, there he is. He's dead. He's in the tomb. We saw him buried. He's gone. Were we fools to leave all that we were, all that we had, all that we knew to follow him? Can you imagine? Put yourself in their shoes. I can imagine they were thinking to themselves, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me? He's dead. He's dead. He's pale in color. His body's broken. The one that they saw preach, they now see preaching weakness, not death. The one that they saw preach strength before now is preaching defeat, not victory. He's dead. He's preaching dishonor, not glory, despair, not hope. How could this be? And I want you this morning to put yourselves in their shoes. Why did they think that he would be any different? Why? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He's dead. And you know, and now for us, all these years later, us, right here in this moment that we're in, we're all so used to Easter. We're so used to the celebration and what comes before and after that we can't sit here for a moment and imagine what they were going through that first Easter, the melancholy mood of the hours before that Sunday morning. For 3 days, man, their hopes were gone. They were buried in the tomb. And what now? What do we do now? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Really? Listen. That body that was buried, it was but a seed. Hear me this morning. A seed that was about to sprout and blossom into something new. And for you and for me today, I want you to hear what I'm about to tell you. And you need to ask yourself this question. What you believe about that first Sunday will decide what you believe about everything else. Are you hearing me? That's what matters after Easter. That's what matters after Easter, after the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is either for you the hinge of all human history, okay? It's the answer. It's the key. It is the center. It changes everything. And it usher in the new for us. What are you talking about, Paul? The new that Paul describes in 1st or 2nd Corinthians chapter 5. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's what you believe, or Easter that we celebrate every year is just another Sunday. Either the Son of God walked out of that grave, or some thieves conspired to knock out the guards, roll away the stone, and steal the body. You see, the Christian faith for you and for me, it either, listen to me, explains every desire, every question that we have in our human heart, or we are just some really pitiful people who have never really lived. We're just stuck. And listen, either Jesus stayed dead that day, or listen, my friends, he is still alive right now. And Easter is such a big deal because it is the celebration of life that we have, that we've been given through the raising of Jesus from the dead by God. And yet, one Sunday a year. You can't wait till next year. And that's the way we treat it. I saw a billboard of a church and it said, Easter come once a year. How often do you come to church? I thought that was so funny. Listen, if it didn't happen like Scripture tells us, then we're just living a fairy tale. Like so many people believe out there. And you know why they believe that? Because we're so quiet about our faith. Or worse, what we do here on Sunday isn't exhibited the rest of the week. There's no congruence. And if we're not careful, what we're exhibiting with our lives will, for other people, just, that's just a heartwarming feeling that we have. That's all it is. Something to make us feel good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I read this last week, verse 17, or the week before, it says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. And then we look just a few verses later, and this is what it says, if in Christ we have hope only, hear me, some of you need to hear this morning, in this life only, we are all people most to be pitied. You see, here's your issue. Here's my issue. We get so hung up on what's happening in the world today that we cannot see the forest for the trees. We get so hung up in looking around us and getting caught up in the worry of this life, in the circumstance, in the hardships and things that we deal with that we cannot look to see beyond what God has had. Remember what Peter said? No way, Lord, are they going to do this to you. And Jesus pulled him aside and rebuked him. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. You got your heart and your mindset on the things of man, not the things of God. And we need to get our hearts set on the things of God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a big deal. It's a big deal. Everything that we believe hinges on the resurrection. So why only celebrate it? Why only recognize it one Sunday a year when it should be the thing that propels us each and every day to live our life unto Christ? You know, probably the most important part of when you share the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus, because we believe that he lived, he died, and he rose again. And I got news for you. There's no other religion that has that. And you know why? Because the Christian faith, it's just not a religion. It's real. It's faith. Even Jesus said that. I hate religion. He said that in 2 Peter. So let me ask you this question this morning. Being in the shoes of those who are there as onlookers at the crucifixion, where's your hope? Where's your hope this morning? Where is your victory this morning? You know, our lives would be so tragic. In fact, it would be a tragedy. Our lives would be a tragedy if Jesus were still dead. Isn't that true? But the good news is that he is more alive than ever. Amen. You know, we could go dig up every continent, and you're not going to find his bones. And go to every continent, dig it up. Look, dig as far down as we want to. We're not going to find his bones. And why? Because he is sitting at the right hand of God. He's sitting on the throne right now. Amen. This is the good news of the gospel, my friends. This is the good news of the gospel. If you have hoped in Christ, you have believed in Christ, you believe that he was raised from the dead, then my friends, you are not in your sins if you have believed into Jesus. Isn't that good news? You were born into sin. That's the bad news. We were all born into sin. We were born into sin. We were born into the curse, each and every one of us in our own way. And notice I said our own way, because sin manifests itself in different ways, but it's still sin, right? I want everyone to understand that, okay? It manifests itself in different ways. So we were born into sin and this curse in our own way. We were born in this way against the God who made us. We were destined, listen, for far worse than death. We were destined for an eternity of damnation, a separation of God, to be tormented. And, you know, some of us wonder, well, what's that look like? Well, the scripture tells us. Look at Luke chapter 16. This is what it says. It says, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even dogs came and they licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, hell, being tormented, he lifted his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish and this in this flame. But Abraham said, child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things. And Lazarus, in like manner, bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, then I beg you, listen, I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. We have Jesus, amen. But he's down there, and it's so bad that he wants him to go tell those others, change. Don't let them come here. We have been rescued from hell. God, in the person of Jesus, came out of heaven so that we could go to heaven. We've been rescued. Why are we not telling others? Why are we not sharing? If the resurrection is the hinge of all human history, is the hinge of our faith,
then why aren't we telling others? You know, that man that I just described there, the rich man dressed in purple, this was our state. This was our condition before Christ, before his life, his death, his resurrection. We were destined for this fate. And then we weren't anymore. Amen. God himself stepped between you, me, and his wrath. Hallelujah. Now in Christ, because of what he has done for us, we're now destined for eternal, ever, listen to me, increasing joy. And when I say that, I say it in the sense that we're not going to see it all on this side of glory, but boy, we're working toward it. And once we get there, woo, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Remember the rope that Charlie brought in a few weeks ago? We were running around the room. We're all focused on this little piece, and there's this eternity that we're just foregoing because we're focused on one thing. That's why we need to recognize the resurrection more than one day a year. It needs to be every day of our lives. If Christ rose from the dead, your faith is not futile. No, your faith has overcome the world. Why? Because he has. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 5. It says, for everyone who has been raised or born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Hallelujah, our faith. And through your faith, this is what the scripture proclaims. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. It's all because of Christ. Here's the point this morning. We're gonna go a little further over the next couple of weeks explaining the significance of why Jesus stayed on earth for 40 days before the ascension. But just hold on. I had to go here today because this is the point of it all. There is, my friends, real hope for you and for me today. There is. Because Jesus is alive right now. Sitting at the right hand of God, we have real hope. Some of you need to hear that this morning. His life has thrown you a bunch of curveballs. Life has been tough, and not only that, but then you start looking around at the world, at the condition of the world that we're in, and you're like, probably freaking out. If you turn on the news last night, you were probably freaking out. And what I say to all of that is, we have real hope in Christ. Real hope in Christ. And you know why? You know what the resurrection tells us? The resurrection tells us that God is in control. God is in control. Not death, not sin, nothing. God is in control. There is hope. And can you imagine those onlookers watching Jesus dying, how hopeless they were when they saw him finally breathe his last breath, taken off that cross, cleaned, wrapped, covered in spices and perfumes and placed in the grave. They roll the tomb back and they're thinking, we're hopeless. They see him before the crucifixion. This is so significant. Arrested, beaten, standing trial for the Pharisee, the Sadducees, and beaten again, slapped, mocked. Then they can't do anything with him, so they take him to Pontius Pilate. He can't find anything wrong with him, but man, he bows to the crowd. He doesn't want any uproar. He doesn't want rebellion, so he has him scourged. And people are watching as this is happening. And you know, I don't want to get too graphic here, but it was bad. Isaiah tells us he was unrecognizable as a man. And they're watching. If you're with me and we're watching this happen as the onlookers, we're going, that's my Lord. This is the guy that I followed for 3+ years. And we've heard him teach. We've seen him do wonderful miracles. We've seen different things happen in power. And now we're seeing him beaten and whipped. And we're thinking, this is weakness. I thought he was going to take over. I thought he was going to overthrow the government. I thought he was going to free us from where we are now. You see, they were only looking, like so many of us do, at the here and now and what we want God to do for us in this moment. And I still remember what he told Pontius Pilate when he said, my kingdom is not of this world. And my friends, I need to remind you this morning, we are sojourners. We're passing through. We're citizens of heaven. If you are a child of God, you're his son, his daughter. We are citizens of heaven. That doesn't mean we go around and just act like nothing matters in this world. We have something to do in this world while we're here. We need to be responsible, no doubt. But our kingdom is not of this world. Our kingdom is not of this world. Jesus being raised from the dead makes it clear for you and for me today that we have a real hope, a real hope. God changed everything. God is in control, not death, not sin, not those circumstances in your life that keep beating you down that you think are never going to change, not your bank account, not the president of the United States, whoever it might be at any given time, not any other country's ruler or leader. You know, there may be a sense, listen to me this morning, of hopelessness in the world today. There may be a sense of hopelessness in the world today, but not for you and me who follow Jesus. Amen? You know, those onlookers there at the crucifixion, those followers of Jesus who watched as Jesus hung on a cross and died. You know, they were filled with an overwhelming sense of hopelessness on that day. And they should have been, right? They didn't understand. They thought they were fools for following this man. He's dead now. What about everything that he told us? What about it? Was it all a lie? But on that third day, when the whispers of something miraculous starting to happen made its way through town, a spark began, and guess what? Hope was alive. Wait a minute. He was being serious. What he said about the Son of Man would have to suffer, that he would die, and that he would raise on the third. He was serious. Oh, my goodness. He's alive. He's alive. You know, the thing that's so significant for you and for me today is we have the opportunity to look back and know what they didn't know. And that should change everything. Everything he said was true. My friends, this morning, the whole point of what I'm getting at this morning, we have hope. No matter what this life brings, the scripture says that our faith overcomes the world. Our faith in what? God. Not our faith in me, not our faith in words or prayers, but our faith in God. It overcomes the world. We have hope. And when we understand that, we begin to understand this thing. Jesus didn't come to change our political climate. Got news for you. This American gospel that's going around, you may hate me for saying this, it's nonsense. It's not biblical. Okay? He didn't come to change our political climate. He came to change our eternity. He came to change our forever. And that changes everything. I don't know about you, but I was destined for hell. But because he came out of heaven for me, for you, I can now be in heaven with him and you can be in heaven with him. Amen. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. If the Lord is alive, and he is, this is what they were thinking. If the Lord is alive, and he is, we've seen him, then what he said about the kingdom coming is true. His kingdom would come. His resurrection, man, it brought a shot in the arm of renewed hope. And the same is true for you and for me today. You need to hear this morning. He is alive. There are times, listen, when our hearts are stirred up. I don't know about you, with worry. Where's my wife? With worry, anxiety. There are times when we as Jesus followers today, we see black clouds around us, right? Black clouds of bleak times and storms of life and bleak times of struggle that we face in our lives, just as Jesus did when he walked on earth. And in those moments, we can look back to an empty tomb, to the truth of his resurrection, and we can say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And that makes life worth living. Because he lives. Where's the team? Let's get the team up here. I want you to know something else that the resurrection does for us beyond being our hope. Because he has risen, not only do we have hope, but I want you to notice this. There is also, and we need this today, help. How many of you need help? How many of you need help? Come on. You know, think about it. Why were all those disciples crowded together just after Jesus' death and they knew of the resurrection in that little room? The truth is, you ready for this? They were hiding. They were hiding. John chapter 20, verse 19 says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. The disciples were fearful because they had taken Jesus, and they saw Jesus executed. And surely they thought, hey, you know what? We're next. We're next. Their master's dead, and lived in fear of their enemies, thinking, man, we're next. But on that Sunday, their fears might, listen, they were obliterated. They were blown out of the sky by the sight of Jesus standing right there before them, holding out his living hand and his living feet with holes from the nails, his pierced side. They could see it. And now they knew, obviously, man, our enemies were not able to kill Jesus, who is God. And this is the way we need to live our lives, because this is what they were thinking. With him alive now, listen to me, there would be no stopping them from spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, and at times, we are all tempted to look back at the climate of the world, look around us and go, oh my gosh, what's going on? The growing number of all those people out there who hate Jesus, our Lord. They hate his kingdom. They hate what is right. They hate what is true. They hate what is good. And there are times when we're going to feel outnumbered and we're going to feel overwhelmed. Honestly, right? And when it seems as if we're going to lose that battle or we're losing the battle against sin, and it feels like that in the world that we're living in today. I know it does. Because we're dealing with forces that are modernism, atheism, liberalism, all of the like. And remember, I need you to remember this. I need you to remember this morning. If nothing else, you need to remember this. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. And through his resurrection power, his church, you and me, his church, the Big C Church, marches on. We march forward. And let me tell you, he said it himself, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Sing it with me. Because I know he holds the future. Here it is. And that makes life worth living just because he lives. Is your life worth living? We have hope. We have help. Jesus is alive. Let's pray together. Intro. Nothing else. Really. Father, I'm so humbled by your presence in this room. That sense that is just permeating through this room is the sense that, Lord, we know that you're alive because we are overwhelmed with your glory and your presence in this place. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Your life, your death, your resurrection. Because of that, Lord, we know we have hope, a real hope. We have help to overcome the worries of this life, the concerns, the things that we brought in here today that weighed us down. They no longer have power if we believe into Jesus. Help us, Lord, today, I pray, not to get so caught up in what we see around us that we can't see you. Remind us that you are alive, and that makes life worth living. May you live your life through ours. And this morning, Lord, if we come in here and we haven't come with the attitude of, Lord, I want you to be resurrected in me. And this morning, speak into someone's life and renew them as only you can. If we've got sin in our lives, and right now, let us lay it at your feet and ask for forgiveness. And as Jesus said, go and sin no more. So that our lives would bring you glory. Let's repent. And believe into Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, may we, as we worship in this moment, examine ourselves as to what we believe. May our hearts find your Spirit speaking to us in a way that we have not yet felt, to reveal the truth of who you are and the power, Lord, that you hold, so that when we face life and the difficulties, we would not be overwhelmed, but instead we would lean into your hope and your truth, your strength, your power. Live each day as Jesus is alive.